This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I have thoughts on Tim Walz tonight. We're going to talk about grassroots with Caitlin Sinclair. Inez Stettman's here to talk about women voters, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about Tim Walz, something that is eating me up. But before we talk about Tim Walz, I want to talk about something. It's not separate. I'm going somewhere with this, so just stay with me. You remember I was gone, it was a couple weeks ago, I was gone for a couple days. And one of the places I was all over the place, was I was at a reunion for the Marine Corps. Guys I went to Iraq with, we had a little Marine Corps reunion. We didn't do anything fancy. We're not fancy people. We rented some ratty little house on a lake, and we made cheeseburgers, had a couple beers, caught up on old times. That's what we did. But one night, we were sitting around, it was actually the first night, we were sitting around just laughing, joking, just talking about people we miss and times we had. And we decided we wanted to talk to our old first sergeant. For you non-military types, that is a very, very senior enlisted guy. He's a very senior enlisted guy, okay? We decided we wanted to talk to him. Now, I got out of the Marine Corps in 2004. I was a 4-year infantry Marine. And we all, as we discussed him, we said, yeah, I wonder, do you think, should we call him? I don't know, it's too late, should we call him? So I pick up my phone, I shoot him a text message and say, hey, Sergeant Major, because he was a Sergeant Major when he retired. Hey, Sergeant Major, we're sitting around, gabbing, me and the fellas. You want to talk to us? 30 seconds. My phone beeped back. Oh, absolutely, call me. This was at 11:30 at night. We call him, we put him on speaker at 11:30 at night. And he just sat and talked to us. He wasn't in charge of us anymore. He wanted to know how we were. How were our lives? How were our families? How were our jobs? Did we need help? That was one of the first things he asked. Hey, you guys need anything? Are you okay? I can't properly explain to you better than that what a senior enlisted guy, what a staff NCO, non-commissioned officer, just a senior guy like that, what he means to the troops, especially the young troops, the 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, when you're in, even when you're out, they are father figures. I'm still in touch. Again, I've been gone for 20 years. I'm old and gray and fat. I've been gone for 20 years, and I still talk to multiple staff NCOs of mine because they guide me, they mentor me, friends. When you're in, they're everything. They are father figures for you. And that brings me to this story about Tim Walz. Now, I know you're not a big fan of Tim Walz. I'm not a big fan of Tim Walz, his crazy positions and all these things. And I just set that aside for a moment. I already know he's a dirty communist. It's not that. Tim Walz was about to be the command sergeant major of his National Guard unit as they deployed to Iraq. That means he was going to be the senior enlisted man in his unit. He was going to be the father figure to all those young men who were about to leave the safety of home and walk into a combat zone at a time in Iraq when it was nasty over there. IEDs and death and misery. And this man, with all these young soldiers under his charge, after he found out he was going to be deployed, quickly turns in his retirement papers so he can go and run for Congress and not deploy with his troops. Now, if you are military or a veteran, your blood pressure is already spiking through the roof. If you are not one of those, that's fine. I'm certainly not talking down to anyone. I hope I properly conveyed what that means and how despicable that is. How cowardly and despicable and gutless that is. You are the mentor, father figure, trainer. Yes, you are the disciplinarian. As a senior enlisted guy, you are essentially the dad for the troops underneath you. And when his sons were getting ready to deploy to combat, Tim Walz said, "Have a good time, boys. I want to go be in Congress." That is so revealing about who this person is in the worst possible way. And I know about he wanted tampons and put tampons in boys' restrooms. I know about his gun-grabbing ways. I know about his acquiescence during the St. George Floyd riots. I know all the terrible things about Tim Walz and his positions. There is nothing more despicable about that human being than knowing when his troops were getting ready to go into hell, Tim Walz said, "Nah, not for me. I'm going to Congress." It is an indictment on the man. And if he agreed with me on every single issue, I would hate that human being until the day I die. You don't do that to your troops. I cannot believe this human being is anywhere near the Oval Office. I can't believe he's a governor. I can't believe he was ever a congressman. And of course, having bailed on his deployment, having bailed on his troops, Tim Walz is Mr. Stolen Valor.
Hope woke up like many of you did 5 weeks ago and Dad said, "Dad, you're the only person I know who's in elected office. You need to stop what's happening with this. I'll take my kick in the butt for the NRA. I spent 25 years in the Army and I hunt. And I gave the money back, and I'll tell you what I have been doing. I've been voting for common sense legislation that protects the Second Amendment, but we can do background checks. We can do CDC research. We can make sure we don't have reciprocal carry among states. And we can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war is the only place where those weapons are at."
Weapons of war that I carried in war? What war zone was that, Tim? You sent your men over there. You stayed back and sat on your fat butt in Congress while your men went over there and died. What war zone did you carry a weapon in, Tim? Minneapolis? It certainly wasn't Iraq, and it certainly wasn't with your men. What a despicable human being. And of course, because all the communists do is lie, Dome and her surrogates are running to the television to question J.D. Vance's service?
Well, here is Tim Walz, who enlisted When he was 17 years old, he served in the National Guard for 24 years. And I'm not aware of any military service that J.D. Vance has ever served. So let's just make the comparison there. And what happened in the tragedy of the killing of George Floyd and then the unrest. Yeah, okay, pardon me for that.
These people are awful. And J.D. Vance, who is killing it on the campaign trail, might I add, he responded and responded well.
What bothers me about Tim Walz, as a Marine who served his country in uniform, when the United States Marine Corps, when the United States of America asked me to go to Iraq to serve my country, I did it. I did what they asked me to do, and I did it honorably, and I'm very proud of that service. When Tim Walz was asked by his country to go to Iraq, you know what he did? He dropped out of the Army and allowed his unit to go without him, a fact that he's been criticized for aggressively by a lot of the people that he served with. I think it's shameful to prepare your unit to go to Iraq, to make a promise that you're going to follow through, and then to drop out.
It's more than shameful. It's cowardice. I could not possibly think lower of anybody than I think of guys like Tim Walz who pull that crap. All right, now, enough of that. I want to talk very briefly about Cori Bush. I know we have a huge, huge show for you. Inez Stettman, you're not going to want to miss Caitlin Sinclair. We have Michael Whatley. We have so much here. But Cori Bush lost her primary last night. She's the radical nut job communist. Here's a little montage of Cori Bush, and we're going to explain again why she was challenged and why she lost. Here's who she is.
The white supremacy happening is unbelievable. The first step in that process is to root out white supremacy, starting with impeaching the white supremacist in chief. Thank you, and I yield back.
Republicans have used the special counsel's report to further their longstanding efforts to re-elect the former white supremacist in chief, Donald Trump.
How many Palestinian children must die before we stop bear-hugging Netanyahu's extremist far-right government with our taxpayer-sponsored bombs and weapons?
Police killings of unarmed black people are responsible for more than 50 million additional days of poor mental health days per year.
If you could do it again, would you still double down or use that slogan, defund the
absolutely.
Police?
Absolutely.
You would?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
So listen.
This place is where 1,700 members of Congress, this elected body, enslaved black people. It's not surprising because they thought it was right. It's not surprising because this is a place where members continue to claim that the insurrection on the Capitol just appeared to look like a normal tourist visit. It's not surprising because this is the place where our black and brown staff members repeatedly speak of experiencing racism and sexism, Islamophobia, get pushed off of elevators, xenophobia, and more right here in this workplace.
So why'd she leave? Why'd she get challenged? Why'd she lose her primary? As we've discussed many times before, there are elite communist scum and there are street communist scum. The street communists all want to become elite communists. They want the fancy steak dinners and private jets. Very rarely can they make the transition, but if they do, if they, like Cori Bush, if they make that transition and they get elected to Congress, that's fine. They're allowed to be radical. They're allowed to be crazy. They're allowed to burn down America. But what they're not allowed to do is create problems for the elite communists. The elite communists are trying to burn down America much more subtly. They're trying to walk more of a tightrope. People like Cori Bush, the street communist scum, they oftentimes don't last with the elites because they create problems. The streets are not allowed to create problems for the elites. That's exactly why Jamal Bowman is gone. It's why Cori Bush is gone. It's why Rashida Tlaib will be gone. Not this election cycle, probably, but over the next couple election cycles, she will be gone too. The streets are not allowed to create problems for the elites. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a huge show for you tonight. You know what else is huge? Pure Talk. Pure Talk is going gangbusters right now. And it's not surprising. The American people have finally had their fill of corporate America and their filthy communist activism. They're tired of it. And they're starting to make choices. They're starting to be purposeful with where they spend and don't spend their money. It's wild how much filthy communism we fund. Do you pay Verizon every month? Do you make a payment to AT&T or T-Mobile every month? These companies hate your guts. Pure Talk loves you. They love America so much. This is probably my favorite thing. They hire Americans who speak English. When you talk to someone at Pure Talk, you're talking to an American citizen, a pleasant one who speaks English. Can't find that anywhere anymore. Switch to Pure Talk. Save some money. Same 5G network. Keep your phone. Keep your number. It's easy. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
She is running a flawless campaign. Yeah. She has not made one single mistake. And I think Democrats like to say, but she will. She might not. Republicans have nominated Trump 3 times. I mean, she is running a flawless campaign. And this choice, even 8 hours ago, I think wasn't as obvious as it is now.
You know, in a weird way, I think that moron Nicole Wallace might actually be correct. Flawless in the fact that Dome doesn't know anything. She can't speak about any issue eloquently, and the positions she's taking are horrific all across the board, so she's just hiding. She's not doing any interviews. Why wouldn't she? Joining me now, the big cheese at the RNC, the chairman, Michael Whatley. Michael, you know, I think it's a really smart strategy. They raise a boatload of money, lie about everything she's ever said, and hide her under the desk so no one can find out what an idiot she is.
It certainly was the plan under Joe Biden, and it appears to be that's the plan they're going to run here. You know, I Michael, think that what
the Trump.
Go ahead.
No, the Trump campaign, how do you counteract that? Because he's out there. He's always out there. He's doing rallies. He's doing the hostile interviews. Doesn't matter. Trump will sit down with it. How do you counteract the fact that she's just in hiding?
Well, I think a couple different things. First off, you know, J.D. Vance has been doing a fantastic job of highlighting that every time he talks to the press and using opportunities even to visit the vice president's airplane today. To go over and have a conversation about this. And also, there is a lot of video that we have. I mean, and you just look at the video clips of her over time, you know, and these are not like, you know, a high school editorial that she posted or an article in her yearbook. These are fairly recent of her time when she's been the vice president and she has been saying the things that she has been saying. You know, at the end of the day, her record is her record, and we need to do a good job of articulating for everybody the difference between Donald Trump's record of 4 years of success and her record as 4 years of failure in the White House. And it's just a matter of having that conversation.
Yeah, to say nothing of her time as a United States senator, which is maybe just as bad as her time as VP. How obviously people are looking at the polls now. I'm sure your email inbox is as full as mine of people getting nervous because polls are tightening. There's a couple out there that show her in the lead. I've been trying to explain to people this is the honeymoon phase. They finally got rid of the albatross that was Joe Biden. People don't even know who she is yet. This, hopefully, Lord willing, is as high as she'll get. She probably goes down from here. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the other thing that you got to keep in mind is Donald Trump has not gone down in a single poll. When we look at all of the battleground state polls where he was at 49% a month ago, he's at 49% today. Where he was at 47, he's at 47. So, you know, Kamala may have gotten a bump up a little bit from where Joe Biden was when he was falling off a cliff. But, you know, like you said, this is a sugar high. And the more people are exposed to her radical ideas and her conversations, she is going to return to earth. We still see a very clear path for President Trump to win this election because he is going into every single battleground state, talking directly with every single voter and putting out a message that says, I hear you. I know the issues that you care about, and I'm going to fight every day to put solutions on the table. When we talk about things like our southern border, we talk about inflation, grocery prices, gasoline prices, housing prices. When we talk about our standing in the world, Donald Trump wins on every single one of those polls in a head-to-head matchup. That's why he's in a good place to be for all of his races.
Michael, speaking of the path to victory, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but it looks to me like Trump has a very good chance of running the Sun Belt states, which would mean he needs Michigan or Wisconsin or Pennsylvania. So that brings us to how those states are run. Their elections are shaky, to put it mildly. They do everything in their power to make sure their election laws are as loose as humanly possible. What's the RNC doing to counteract that?
Well, just yesterday, I was in Pittsburgh having a Protect the Vote tour stop with former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi. This is part of a tour that co-chair Laura Trump and I have been doing all across the country. We are recruiting and training 100,000 volunteers to serve as poll observers. We are working in every single state to try and make sure that we have the right rules of the road in place when it comes to laws, when it comes to regulations, to make sure that we're going to have a fair, accurate, secure, and transparent election cycle. We want to get these rules in the road before voting starts. And then once voting starts, we got to be in the room. You want to be in the room when they vote. You want to be in the room when they're counting the votes. And so that is the program we're running, the first ever National Election Integrity Program. This was the number one topic that I had with President Trump when we were talking about having Laura and I take over the RNC, and it remains our number one priority today.
Did you get any of those sandwiches with the fries on them when you were in Pittsburgh? I used to grow up around Pittsburgh, and man, I miss those. They were so good.
You know, there is a absolute 100% appeal to being in the steel in the Iron City, to being there in Pittsburgh. And I think that it just really matters when you talk about getting out there and having these conversations. We have held the Protect the Vote tour stops in every single battleground state. This is our second one that we've had in Pennsylvania. And Laura and I are fully committed to getting this done. But the fact that J.D. Vance was also in Pennsylvania just yesterday, he was over in Philadelphia, shows you how important we think that Pennsylvania is. When you look at all of those battleground states, you're going to be able to tell by President Trump, by J.D. Vance, by the surrogates, by me, by Laura, you can tell where we're living is going to be in each one of those battleground states.
The debates, are they actually going to happen? Trump famously has said, hey, I didn't agree to any debates with Kamala Harris. He's talking about switching venues. She obviously is not going to be that excited about standing on stage trading punches with Trump. Is this something that's actually going to happen?
We hope it will happen. I think the president has been very clear that he would like to have debates. But when you set up one set of debates with Joe Biden, I would argue you could say straight up, Joe Biden is the one who pulled out of the second debate, not Donald Trump. But we know right now that he would like to have debates. He said that on multiple occasions. Those conversations are taking place today. I hope that we will have some announcements coming soon.
Michael Whatley, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. All right. We're going to talk to Inez Stettman about many things. One of the main things we're going to talk about is women voters, single women voters, married women voters. Who should you be going after? Who shouldn't you be going after? Should you go after men? Why does nobody go after the male voter? We'll talk to Inez about that in a moment. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about glorious sleep. There are a few better feelings than waking up in the morning and as soon as your eyes open up knowing, oh my gosh, I got a great night's sleep, I'm gonna be awesome today. And there are a few worse feelings than when you wake up and you still feel heavy, tired, and you just know work's gonna suck. You know, everything you do is gonna suck. That's where a dream powder from Beam comes in. It's not the sleeping. Oh, dream powder will put you to sleep. It's the waking that matters. Dream powder, it's just a cup of hot chocolate before bed, but it's all natural stuff, melatonin and things. And when you wake up, you don't feel all groggy and heavy like you do with everything else you take to sleep. You feel good. Take dream powder every night if you want. 40% off at shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Go get a bag and tell me how you slept. All right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we just talk about masculinity for a moment? Has being second gentleman changed your own view of perceived gender roles or what it means to be a man?
This is something I've thought about a lot and something I've spoken about a lot. There's too much of toxicity, masculine toxicity out there. And we've kind of confused what it means to be a man, what it means to be masculine.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh over the clip. I'm sorry. It's just the second gentleman thing and the effeminate way the question was even asked. It's just these people make me laugh. Joining me now, Inez Stettman, senior policy analyst, Independent Women's Forum, and more importantly, my friend. Inez, if you and Doug were the last two people on the planet, do you think
I don't want
the Earth with that guy? Where do these people learn to talk like this? What women prefer guys like this?
I don't know. I can't speak to their specific relationship. But I do think that our discourse more broadly is going in this direction, right? It seems like this very like therapeutic sort of feminine talk about toxicity and all the other therapy terms that have been slipped into our normal discourse in terms of politics. And I do think that actually reflects a larger trend, which maybe we can talk about when we get to voting numbers between men and women.
No, let's talk about them now. Obviously, this is not a new thing. Cook Political Report has a report on it, but this is something that's been as old as me, older than me. Women are voting for Dome and men are voting for Trump. This is how it goes consistently. Why?
So the interesting thing about those numbers is that they're hiding something, which is that unmarried men, married men, and married women all vote to varying degrees for Republicans. And actually, unmarried men aren't that far off from married men. So all of those groups vote somewhere between 53% and 56.7% for Republicans. And then the outlier is single women who are voting 68%, 69%, 70% for the Democratic Party. And so we've only seen this gap between male and female voting patterns on the whole really open up in the 80s. It's not a fixed piece of our sort of political landscape. In the 1950s, women voted in larger numbers for Republicans than they did for Democrats. So this isn't a permanent fixture. And actually underlying it is what's happened, if you look at the underlying numbers, is that we simply have a lot more single women who are voting very disproportionately for the Democratic Party. And that's opening up that gap in the overall numbers between men and women. And I think that just doesn't get, it doesn't get broken down like that a lot very often. But what we're actually seeing is a marriage gap, a family gap, a family formation gap, where men and women, when they do form families, when they get married, and this is obviously talking on the aggregate, there are plenty of exceptions to this, but they tend to see their interests as more aligned politically. Whereas when women in particular are single, they tend to see their interests as oppositional to men's. And that's why we see those numbers pulling apart the way that they do.
Yeah, and it's getting worse. We actually talk about that a lot, about how it's a marriage thing and a male thing, and it's the single women who are going nuts. What drives me crazy about Inez, is how the two different sides approach that issue. The communists see that And they understand that single women are ripe for the picking, and so they do everything in their power to keep them single forever. The Republicans, of course, are stupid and cowardly and worthless like they always are, and they look at that and they decide they need to message better to single women, we need to hand out essential oils or something stupid, instead of creating something culturally that encourages marriage, which will, in the end, benefit you. It's the two different approaches that drive me insane about that.
Yeah, I would add something even further to the, what you said, which is the Republican Party isn't going after a demographic that is potentially very interested and trending in their direction, right? What about talking to men? What about the Republican Party doubling down on its advantages with men, which have mostly been, as I said, in the 50s? Well, if men started voting in the numbers that single women do for the Republican Party, it would be a wipeout, right? And there's no interest to continually messaging to men, even though I would argue that the Democratic Party is overtly hostile to men in both policy and rhetoric, right? Just to pick a couple examples, the due process regulations that the Biden administration just returned to the Obama regs on Title IX basically strip due process from college men. If you're accused of sexual assault, you don't have the right to representation. You don't even have the right to know fully what you're being accused of until you walk into these single adjudicator hearings with a Title IX officer who is incredibly biased, right? Like, this is something that, first of all, not only men should be concerned about, but a lot of married women are concerned about with regard to their sons. Like, that would be an issue where the GOP could message effectively to married women, to married men, and to single men. But they just drop that issue. It's just not something that they talk about a lot. But that's just one example, right? Even talking about the decline of manufacturing jobs in comparison, say, to administration or, you know, college administrator jobs or something like that, that tend to heavily favor a feminized career path. Like, these are issues that the Republican Party could take advantage of, and I think very effectively, to increase their share of the male vote. But you're right, they don't seem interested in doing that. They seem interested in getting pats on the head from a demographic that is predisposed not to take their ideas, you know, very seriously, or even to sort of answer. Frankly, I think what we've seen with J.D. Vance has been an answer, right? To answer those ideas with the label of weird or creepy or whatever, not a real answer, right?
It is. Why? I know Republicans are stupid and cowardly. I get that that's built in, but it's such an obvious answer. Everything you just said there is 100% correct, and it's so obvious. There's and the number of single men who don't vote, who aren't even registered to vote. They're disenfranchised. They're waiting there to be plucked and made part of your voting coalition, and the GOP would rather go after the liberal white women. I don't understand the why. Explain it to me.
You know, I think it has to do with appealing to new audiences, quote unquote. You always hear that phrase, we have to put our message in front of people who are new audiences. And that's true. I mean, I totally support the idea of talking to anybody who will give you a hearing, right? We're trying to convince and persuade our fellow Americans on this or any host of issues. I'm not against talking to people who are sort of predisposed to be against you. I think that's an important part of politics, but it's like we've forgotten the other part of politics, right? Which is making sure that you're talking to the people who are predisposed to agree with you. And we see the same thing racially, right? For in 2012, there was the famous GOP autopsy report. And it said, basically, the Republican Party lost because we don't appeal enough to Hispanic and Black voters. We need to do more outreach on that. The way that Donald Trump actually won in 2016 was by bringing in a different new audience, which was working class white men, who had not been voting mostly for either party, or they had been voting Democrat, and he brought that new audience. And somehow that was never part of the new audience discussion, right? How do we increase our share of white men voting for the Republican Party? That was never part of the, and it seems like they really value some votes more than others in a strange way, in a strange, like, sort of liberal accepted checkbox kind of way. And when in reality, you know, you should go where the votes are. And if your votes, and you're more likely to pick up votes in this case among single men, then, you know, that's what a competent political party would do. But what we're seeing is instead we want a party that looks, you know, that gives us a good rejoinder to the New York Times and what they write about us. And that's not serious politics.
Yeah, please stop calling me a racist. That's been Republican Party politics for years now. It freaking drives me crazy. On that note, I just want to touch on this really briefly with you. The Josh Shapiro thing. If Josh Shapiro didn't refuse it, which I'm hearing a lot of things that say Josh Shapiro said no, but let's just assume for a moment that Dome wanted Shapiro, considered Shapiro, and rejected him because he's a Jew, which it's pretty obvious to everybody right now what's happening in the Democrat Party. They hate Jews. They have an anti-Jewish problem, bad, in that party. Do you see Jews in America, Jewish Americans who've traditionally voted two out of three for Democrats? Do you see that shifting? No, I don't mean they're all going to go Republican now, but they're going to shift eventually, right?
I guess it remains to be seen. You're referencing a poll that came out recently in New York showing the Jewish vote in New York basically 50-50, 49-51. And that's New York, right? And New York is a liberal state across the board. That being said, that poll, because Jews are such a small part of the population, I mean, in that poll, you're talking about 100 voters, right? So I would just be really careful with some of those early polls that show huge swings in the Jewish vote. I'm not sure whether that will happen or not. I mean, I'd be very pleased to see it happen. I think it's long overdue. This has been part of the left for a long time, the hostility to Israel. And then more domestically speaking, the hostility to the idea, Jews are lumped in with oppressors, right? With white oppressors, the liberal ideology is anti-white, and it's anti-Semitic in addition to being anti-white, right? Anybody who's perceived as a colonializer, an oppressor, God forbid they're actually successful in the economy as well. Like, that just adds all kinds of layers of different oppression tags that one can be tagged with. So I think that's really what's going on. But that being said, look, personally, I have a lot of liberal leaning Jewish friends, and I'm not sure they're pulling the lever for Donald Trump. I'd be really very happy to see that firewall break. I'm just not going to predict it before I actually see it, because I mean, look, same thing with the black vote, right? We get every single 4 years, we get a bunch of these polls that say, like, actually, the black vote is going 35% for Republicans this year. And every time it's like Lucy in the football. So I wouldn't get ahead of us on the basis of one poll, ahead of ourselves on the basis of one poll that is based on 109 people or whatever it is.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. All right. Caitlin Sinclair is going to join us next. She's going to talk about grassroots. That matters a lot. Hang on.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word. one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening. Good evening, good evening. Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Good evening.
I gotta tell you, pointing out just an observation of mine that I made. I just have to say it. You know it, you feel it. These guys are creepy and, yes, just weird as hell. That's what you see. That's what you see.
Dome's voice is so hard to listen to. Isn't it hard to listen to? Anyway, let's talk about the weird thing. Caitlin Sinclair, official spokeswoman of Turning Point Action, joins me now. Caitlin, the weird thing. J.D. Vance is weird. They're weird. This is weird. I am not a young voter. You are a young voter. And I am told repeatedly that this kind of branding works with young voters. Now, I don't expect it to work on you, but does it?
Jesse, to me, this whole weird tactic is like ex-boyfriend level projection, right? We all have that ex-partner that was an expert in gaslighting. And to me, having liberal snowflakes calling conservatives weird is just simply that. So let's break this down. You have Tim Walz calling conservatives creepy and weird. This is the same man that signed laws into place requiring tampons to be in men's bathrooms, the same man that thinks it's okay to chop off children's private parts, and the same man that wants pornography in our schools. Jesse, this is the same party that gets upset when you use the wrong pronouns, that thinks purple hair looks good, and that was willing to be experimental lab rats and take about 20 to 30 experimental jabs. So I don't know what's more weird than that. But let's get this straight. The Kamala Harris camp, Tim Walz now calling us weird, is the same tactic they used back in 2016 with Hillary Clinton calling us deplorables. So you're asking if this is working on young voters. You know who this is not working on? It's not working on the American that can't afford groceries. It's not working on the American that can't afford gas. It's not working on the American who can't afford to buy a home. It's not working on the American that believes there's only two genders, does not want to transition their kids at a young age, and believes in the America First agenda, Jesse.
Yeah, I dated a girl with purple hair once. I wish I hadn't done that. Let's talk
about
gaslighting. Let's talk about gaslighting really quickly, because you brought up that term. People don't understand, because they're not involved in the political world in the way we are, how many people they see online, social media, which is obviously huge now, are paid. Mm-hmm. So many of these Kamala Harris fans all of a sudden are paid to do it, and it works. It creates a momentum. That's why they do it. This stuff can be very effective. Even a garbage candidate like Dome can be made to look popular and like it's the new thing if you pay enough big accounts to do it.
Yeah, so I think in this highly curated world of social media, we have to make sure that Americans are seeing past this, especially the young generations. You have Kamala Harris alongside the DNC propaganda machine, which we call the media now. We all know that there's no such thing as media now in this country, especially when it's just propagandist heads that are, they're just talking heads, Jesse. They're undiagnosed mental illness folks that are just talking heads for the DNC. And so 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, this was the same media that was telling us, because of how historically unpopular Kamala Harris was at the time, that Joe Biden was going to try to replace her. This was the same media that told us the 2020 election was the fairest and safest election of our lifetime. The same media that told us just 17, 20 days ago that Joe Biden was a complete legitimate candidate and there was nothing to see here. And now, all of a sudden, the script has flipped, and the love that we are seeing for Kamala Harris coming out of the mainstream media is not real. It's completely fake. And now you have her campaign that is trying to buy rappers, buy streamers, buy whoever, whatever Instagrammable influencers they can to come twerk at their rallies and take cringeworthy selfies. I don't know who that's fooling. I don't know who that's going to fool.
I don't know. Maybe we should have twerking. I don't think we need that at our rallies. But we do need to chase down ballots, Caitlin. That is obviously something that is very real. Whatever people think about elections, chasing ballots where it's legal is something that we have to do. And we have to do it very well, because they do it very well. I don't expect us to be the professionals that the dirty communists are. But are we getting better at that? The view from the ground, what is it?
Well, I'm here in Arizona working with Turning Point Action. And from our standpoint, this is what this game is all about. And we are doing all of the groundwork, all of the grassroots, Jesse. And it's so important, because guess what? This is how we win elections. You don't win elections by having great rallies, big rallies, having an American flag in your front yard and posting on TikTok, twerking and complaining on social media. You win rallies by registering voters and you win elections, I'm sorry, by registering voters and chasing those ballots. And that's what we're doing here at Turning Point Action. You saw the primary with Carrie Lake just last week, that amazing win. And we're so proud to be involved in doing everything we can to making sure that folks are registered to vote, that you're engaging in your community, you're having these hard conversations, you're getting involved, because we cannot have November 5th come around and have any American out there that's going to take to Twitter to complain or be upset in the results if they had nothing to do with saving their country and getting involved. So we say to everybody out there that Donald Trump is not there to save you if you don't do anything to save him first. You have to get involved in this fight. There's many ways to do that. You can download our app, Turning Point Action. Go online, turningpointaction.com. We have our Chase the Ballot initiative, Jesse, which is basically encouraging all walks of life to get involved in this movement, to help us chase ballots, to help us have one friend, have a barbecue, have a pool party. I don't know. Have these conversations. Make sure that all your community members, all of your friends, all of your family members are registered to vote, and then chase those ballots.
But Caitlin, what if I'm not in Arizona? What if I'm stuck in some commie hellhole like California, or I'm in a blood red state like South Carolina?
Well, then we pray for you.
Participate?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Well, I am a born and raised New Yorker, still spend a good amount of time there, and that's okay. There are still ways you can get involved. We have postcards. We have phone calls. If you download our app, you can see the areas that you're in, Jesse, and you can see the low propensity voters in your area. We make it very easy. Technology is amazing these days, and that's, again, the Turning Point Action app that you can download. No matter what city and what state you are in, there is something here at Turning Point Action for everyone as far as making a difference, as far as getting involved in your community and being around like-minded people. So we have our coalitions. You can go to coalitions.com to find out more about that. And Jesse, we have coalitions for something for everyone. We have a faith coalition. We have a moms coalition, Black America coalition. We just launched our Gen Z coalition. So again, we're really engaging people from all walks of life to get involved in this movement. And it starts simply by just downloading an app and having one conversation a day.
There you go. Don't tell me how much you care. Show me how much you care. Get involved. Caitlin, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. We have Lighten the Mood. Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, that was a big show. It's time to lighten the mood. And when it comes to Nancy Pelosi, some people get confused why I call her Grandma Vodka. I think if you watch a little bit of her most recent interviews, you will understand how she earned that name.
Whether it's, well, it's the first bill that protect our bill,
COVID.
Shots in the arm, money in the pockets, children in school, people at work, the infrastructure bill, building in a way that is respectful of communities, chips and science.
Painful to listen to. These people run the country. Isn't that insane? That's probably the most powerful person in Washington, D.C. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.